Good afternoon, and I greet you in the worthy name of Jesus. And I will do my best to compete against your drowsiness, as has been said already. I'd like to continue this series on the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and I invite you to open your Bibles, if you have them, to Matthew chapter 13. Last evening, I attempted to establish what is the kingdom of heaven. It's the place where God's rule is complete, and we know that on this earth, there are places where his rule is not yet complete, and it will be someday. The kingdom of heaven is an eternal reality, and someday all things will be brought under his feet. But Jesus, through the Gospel of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus invites us to participate in his kingdom in the present day. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 13. I'd like to start reading in verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm going to pause there for a little bit. Jesus comes and he gives a story in everyday language. There was probably no question as to what the story was about. And to those who were there, it says in this case it was the multitudes. I kind of believe that maybe the Sermon on the Mount was delivered to those, not the multitudes, but those who were more specifically following him. But this is a big crowd. In fact, it was so big that they had to have him get into a boat and push offshore a little bit. To make a bit of room. And so just get a mental image of the people on the shore, hungry to hear the message. And Jesus pushes off in a boat, and he gives a story about planting. Now, I happen to be a farmer, and so I'm interested in seeds and soil. And so I find this story very fascinating. And I'm assuming that most of the audience was pretty connected to farming at a very subsistence level. To raise a crop meant to survive. And so as he begins to tell the story, I don't think there was any question into the details of the story. And we're going to get into what the meaning is. But he ends the story with something interesting. He says, Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, clearly there's a crowd there and they have ears. And they're all listening to the story. What is Jesus getting at? Who is it that has ears to hear? Who's he specifically talking to in this parable? There is nothing particularly noteworthy or even mysterious about the story, but let's catch something here. Let's keep going. Go look at verse 10. And I'm not sure if this is chronological or where this is in the chronology. I don't know if this happens, if the disciples come to him later on after he explained the meaning, or if there's a break and he explains the meaning. But either way, there's a time when the disciples are with Jesus and they ask him some questions about his example. And the disciples came to him and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. I want to pause here yet again a little bit. The question comes up, Jesus, why do you use parables? Why don't you just say what you mean? Why not just get out there and say it? Well, like I said before, the story was very understandable, but Jesus says that even within the parables, there are mysteries to be understood, and not all will understand. Verse 11, he says, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm not sure if it's in this place or elsewhere. It talks about the fact that these mysteries of the kingdom were there from the foundation of the world. So the reality of the kingdom of heaven has always been, but this was special because the kingdom of heaven was now coming and there was access to those who believed. But there were those who would not understand and could not hear. Now here's a concept, think about it a little bit. In this day and age in particular, this is a very objectionable concept. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now, if you take that statement at face level, think about how that would sound to an everyday person. You know what? To him who has a lot, we'll give him more. And to the one who doesn't have much, we'll take away what he has and give it to the one that already has a lot. Now, if you're talking about wealth, that would not be very popular in our culture today. Today, there is the concept of those who have much, you know, should be taken from them and give to those who have less, and let's equalize in an economic sense. Well, I don't think Jesus is talking about money necessarily. I don't believe he's talking about the distribution or redistribution of wealth per se. But he's talking about what we do with what we know. To those who hear and to those who believe and to those who have faith, more will be given. To those who ignore and reject, even what little they have will be taken away, is how I understand what he's saying. And so he's referring back to something that comes out of the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah had talked about this, and I'm not going to go there, but if you would refer back to Isaiah, Isaiah is talking about a people whose heart is, well, here it's interesting. The King James says, wax gross. Not really terminology we use today. As I understand it, it's a hardening of the heart. There's a callousness. Now, how do you develop calluses? I've got some young men up here. I don't know if any of you guys are in construction or not, but how do you get a callus on your hand? Well, it comes by repeated friction and repeated use and the using of tools and coming against. Well, in this sense, callus, in a working sense, physical sense, calluses are good. They toughen you up, right? But the callousing of the heart is when truth comes and it's either ignored, it's rejected or it's set aside, and a callus begins to form. And when the heart is repeatedly exposed to truth, but it doesn't receive it, either by faith or by action, there is a callus that begins to form on the heart. Their heart is calloused. Therefore, with a calloused heart, they also have ears that are dull. They're not hearing. Eyes that don't see. They do not understand the spiritual realities of the kingdom. And so Jesus says, I speak in parables so that those who are dull will not understand. So where does the responsibility lie for receiving the message of the kingdom? In a way, you could say, well, Jesus, surely you'd have mercy on those. If they're dull of hearing, surely you would speak in a way that they get it for sure. Surely you would do anything to make that they understand. And yet Jesus says, to those who are hardened, then the mystery remains a mystery. They will not see. But blessed are those whose eyes see and their ears who hear. To them will be given more. It's also remarkable. In verse 17, he says that there have been many. Up to this point, he says the prophets, those who had the eye of faith, who believed God, who believed the promises of God. Men like Abraham who were given a promise and their faith was resting in the promise of realities that were not yet seen. He says they have desired, they long to see the day when the kingdom of heaven was made known and became a current reality. So blessed are you who actually see that today. So verse 18, So after Jesus, he gives the parable. He explains why he uses parables. It's so that some can understand and some cannot. And then he says in verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." All right, "Hear ye therefore." Hear as one who knows that God does not reveal truth to those with a hardened heart. Therefore always calls us to look back to what was said. "Hear ye therefore, if God only speaks to those who have a heart that is soft, if God only reveals truth to those who are seeking truth, then hear it that way. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Listen as one who, like Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Listen to the parable as one who is hungry to know and to learn more. Now for the next few minutes, let's now look at Jesus. How does he explain the parable? He gives the story. Disciples don't get it. "Why do you talk like this, Jesus? Why are you so obscure?" He tells them why, and then now he gives the explanation to those who would like to hear. And this is the explanation. Verse 19. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The sower in the parable, it's Jesus. We already know that. The seed is the word of God. It's the message of the kingdom. Jesus comes about in his kingdom, and he doesn't come about like other kingdoms come about. Other kingdoms that reigned in the world prior to this, and to this day, all kingdoms come by force. A monarch comes in. He gains territory. How does he get it? He takes it by force. He wins battles. He has victories. He brings people into subjection. Not Jesus. That's not how Jesus brings about his kingdom. There is no conquest of men. There are no swords. There are no whips. There are no chains that compel people to come into the kingdom of heaven. No one is forced into the kingdom of heaven. It is a completely voluntary kingdom. As we heard last night about the inspiration of Scripture, it is through the inspired Word of God, and it's through the illumination of the Holy Spirit that the kingdom is revealed, and it is freely offered to all who will take it. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 to 22, this is the way Jesus comes. He doesn't force himself. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," here we have hearing, "and open the door," here we have voluntary acceptance, "I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Now there's language of kingdom, throne. To those who voluntarily let him come in. Remember, he takes control of our lives room by room. To those who voluntarily enter the kingdom, he says, and they overcome, they will gain a throne someday. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, the same words that Jesus used in the parable. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's briefly look at the four soils. The first soil, the wayside. It's hardened ground. Everybody understands the analogy. The farmer's out there, he's casting his seed, and there's a beaten path, and the seed falls on the beaten path, and what happens? The birds pluck it away. Well, they understood it. Well, who is that? Who is the wayside? Those who have the soil of the wayside, no germination occurs. There is no believing by faith. There is no salvation. Of the four soils, this is one soil where germination never takes place. There are many in the world today who will hear the word, but they will never believe by faith, and they will never be saved. This is the soil of the wayside. These people will never make it. The second soil, it's a stony soil. This is the one where the people hear the message of the gospel, and it says they are excited. They have joy because now their life is going to be different, right? And the soil is thin. And what happens? It says it germinates, begins to grow, and then what happens? Well, this isn't what I thought. I thought life was going to be better than this. And things get hard, and there's trials, and maybe there's persecution, and there's difficulties. And it says the soil that is on stony ground fails to go deep with roots. It dies out quickly. I'm not going to read it. If you get a chance, read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 19. There he talks about being rooted and grounded in love. The prayer of Paul in that passage was, I pray that you would be rooted and grounded, that you would grow and that you'd have the fullness of God. For those who come to Christ, but they don't quickly put in roots, they are like that of the stony soil. And when difficulties come, they become disillusioned and they quickly wither and die. The third soil, it's the seed that is cast among thorns. It's a thorny soil. I already told you I'm a farmer. This year, there's a lot of fields that we have that I'm embarrassed about. In fact, if you'd be around, you want to see a tour of some of our farms, I'd probably skip a lot of those fields because for some reason this year, we've got weed problems and we're having a hard time controlling them. But it's what happens. You got the weeds in there and you have them right there with the good seed. But this is the soil where it germinates. It says nothing about not having sufficient fertility. It's there. A person comes to Christ, they put down roots, and they get established. They're not offended. They desire to live for the Lord. But here's something that happens. As they grow into maturity, in healthy soil, that's the condition of their heart, two things come up. It says the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. I don't think I have to explain those a whole lot today for us. The cares of this world, we get caught up in life. We get caught up in the things that maybe they're necessary, but they're secondary. And he says those things have the ability, like thorns, to choke out growth. The deceitfulness of riches is the second thing he says. I read a quote today. It says, riches are treacherous. They promise one thing, but they deliver another. With false steps, riches forsake those who possess them, and they entice those who do not have them. It's a double-edged sword. To those who have riches, and I don't want to condemn anyone here. I'm sure there's varying amounts of economic success here today. But Jesus always warns about riches and the deceitfulness of riches. Because on one hand, there is a confidence in riches. There is the crowding out of spiritual things that riches brings about. But there's the other side of that as well. There is the desire to be rich. I believe we can be very poor materially and struggle with the deceitfulness of riches because we long after it and we have that as a passion. It's a dual-edged sword. Jesus warns us the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world have the ability to choke out growth in your Christian life. To those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And then he comes to the fourth soil. And I want to point out of these four soils, in the first soil, there's no germination. There's no growth. This person never comes to Christ. In the next two, there is limited growth. There's a withering away. There is a choking out. But those two are not fruitful. Ultimately, they are not fruitful. There is only one soil in this parable that is fruitful. What does it take to have fruitful soil? It says, this is the person who hears, who understands, and he bears fruit. Are you able to hear God in your life today? Are there calluses? Are there things that are choking? Are there cares that are pressing that prevent you from hearing the word of God? Jesus, as he concludes the parable, he calls us to fruitfulness. And we're not here to compare fruit. Jesus says some will give 30, some will give 60, some will give 100. Some have different gifts. Some have different abilities that Jesus gives them. The question for us today, am I fruitful with what God has given me? Am I able to hear his word? Am I able to understand? And have I chosen to respond? And may God continue to open our eyes to the realities of the kingdom. So we bow our heads and pray. Father, we pray that as we examine our hearts this afternoon and consider our soil, Lord, I believe that you have given each one of us a choice as to what kind of soil we will be, what kind of a hearer we will be. Lord, I pray this afternoon, that we would have a hopefulness, that if we find ourselves, as we examine ourselves, at a place where we don't want to be, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, whether it's rooting out the cares, rooting out the areas where we are crowding you out in our lives. Lord, if it's maybe a failure to develop roots, I just pray, Lord, that you would give us that hunger and a thirst after righteousness. I pray that today in this audience, Lord, there would be much fruitfulness, and Lord, that as a result, the kingdom of God would be shown here on earth, as a real present reality, and others could be drawn to the kingdom. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.